Once again, it's great to have you listening to Open Line tonight. If you ever miss a broadcast, or if you come in the middle and wish you'd heard the first part of the program and would like to listen, the programs are archived on our website, openlineradio.org. I think they're there for maybe up to a month after the broadcast, so you can go back and pick up on something you missed. openlineradio.org. And our email address is openline@moody.edu. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Our phone number here in the studio tonight, 312-329-4460. We talked with Pastor John Kitchen from the Stowe Alliance Church in Stowe, Ohio. Somewhere I know, at least my geography is a bit challenged, but somewhere between Cleveland and Akron is all I know,
right,
John.
Right on the northeast corner of Akron.
Okay, I should know better than that. I should know more about Ohio than that, but great to have you here tonight. And thanks for this book. It's been around for a couple of years, hasn't it?
It has, and it was one of those things that I don't think there was anybody in my life, including myself, that ever thought a book would come out of me. But so it surprised me as much, and a lot of other folks. But yeah, it was something God laid on my heart, and I was delighted to be able to get it down and get it in print.
We were talking during the break off the air about the all-encompassing issue this is, because this touches every corner of life. There's not a part of life that escapes the implications of the authority of God and His Word.
No, there really isn't. I think about it as the, if God is who God is, He's woven into the fabric of this universe, his presence and His authority. And so there's not a place we go that in some way we don't meet it. And, in some very practical, everyday, and often seemingly mundane ways, because we can say, well, God, God's out there. God's, he's not sitting here right beside me physically, so how do I meet God's authority? But in some very tangible ways, daily, they've just put a sign out by our church here. I make a right-hand turn when I go to the stoplight, and used to be able to do that on a red. They just changed that, and I have to decide every time I go to that stop sign, okay, there's nobody coming for any visible distance. Do I sit here and wait, and then I meet the authority of God? Because that's a law, and it might seem trivial and silly, but at the same time, it's a good reminder to me that I never escaped that in all the varieties of ways life turns out.
Huh. And then one more thing before we take our next phone call. Some people may be saying, well, of course I believe in God and His authority, and I believe in the authority of His Word. Why are you dealing with such an obvious issue? It is not so obvious inside or outside the church today.
No, unfortunately, it's not obvious. And I think it's one of those things that we live in such a me-oriented society. I think with the great vehicles of communication we have now, technology and everything, that just allows that innate self-centeredness of our sinful nature to get marketed in all kinds of ways, and it just becomes more and more prevalent that we make it our assumption that, you know what, the universe revolves around me. None of us sit and think that, probably, out that clearly, but mm-hmm. but yet we proceed through life thinking that way. So if something messes up, something that's supposed to be orbiting around my life, then I get upset and I don't like that. That's not how the world revolves, the universe revolves. God is on the throne, and He is in control, and He is taking all things and working them to His end, whether we understand all that or not. But He is doing that, and if we're not clued into where He's headed with this world, then we're really at least out of step with, if not more than that, with what is happening around us.
Debbie has been waiting to talk with us from Lake Villa, Illinois, listening to WMBI tonight. Debbie, thanks for waiting.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you very much for taking my call. I really appreciate the topic that you have tonight. My question is, I agree that we're living in a world that doesn't believe in authority, and yet as a child of God, how do I intentionally live in this world and yet intentionally make God more of an authority in my life? I mean, on a daily basis.
That's a great question. That's really where it comes down to, and so I appreciate you raising it. For myself, as I relate some of the ways I deal with this on a daily basis, it will help others as well, including Debbie. To me, it begins with what happens when my alarm clock goes off in the morning. because either I'm going to get up and I'm going to early spend time consciously exerting effort to study and read and meditate and memorize God's word, or I'm not. And right there, I make a decision about my day and my life and say, either God, I'm going to start right up front with what God says, and I'm going to trim my sleeping hours, I'm going to trim my start to my day and my energies, and I'm going to take God's word, and I'm going to begin to read it, study it, and there's a whole vast variety, of course, of things there about how to do that and come away with what God says. But, you know, to do those things and to then take something away from that by God's teaching, by His Spirit, and move out into the day and begin to think differently, choose differently, and speak differently. And that's, to me, it begins that simple in my life every day. Am I going to get up and am I going to come under the authority of God's word by taking it in and saying, this is my lifeline from God? And then, of course, I think from there it comes down to, as I'm going through my day, and I trust that God is going to do what He says He'll do in His Word, and that is by His Spirit He'll bring back to my memory the things that He's taught me. And so throughout the day, I'm confronted by opportunities and issues and situations, and God's will, you know, becomes clear to me, or maybe doesn't become clear to me, and I pray and ask Him to clarify it. At those moments, again, do I go my way? Do I go His way? Do I wait and do the difficult thing of waiting to seek His will? And so, you know, that works out in family life, that works out in marriage, that works out in the workplace, it works out in our fellowship with other believers, it works out as we drive down the road, in just about every sphere of life. I don't know that too many seconds or minutes pass by in which there's not opportunities for us to consciously say to myself, here's the issue, here's what I'm doing. I may not think about it, but here's what I'm doing. I am now coming under God's authority because I'm choosing to obey Him in this moment by doing this thing.
Wow, that's awesome. That would be a wonderful thought to be able to actually consciously think of.
Well, I'm striving toward that. None of us have arrived at the perfect place of that, but I think that's our goal. That's where we want to go.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Debbie, for taking my call.
All right, thank you for calling. You know, as you were responding to Debbie's question, I turned to the end of one of your chapters here. I'm looking at page 58, John. Mm-hmm. And you answer the question in the book. You say the screaming of those trying to drown out the sound of God's truth revealed in His Word can make it difficult for us to hear His voice. You and I don't have a message from God left on our answering machine, but we have many voices telling us how to live. How do we hear God's voice? Turn to His Word. The clear, objective expression of His authoritative will for our lives is given to us there.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a great song, if I remember, I think it's Casting Crowns, is the voice of truth. I will listen to the voice of truth. There's too many voices out there, but I'm choosing in all of this, you know, this cacophony of voices and messages and commands and demands, I'm consciously calling out to God to enable me to choose out of that. Where's the voice of truth? And that's the one I'm going to follow and listen to.
That's very good. Well, we have time for more calls here tonight. If you'd like to give us a ring, 312-329-4460. Kevin is in Nashville, Tennessee. His station he's listening to is WFCM. Kevin, thanks for waiting.
Hey, thanks for being willing to listen to my question here, John.
Okay, go ahead, Kevin. The line's a little noisy, so but you go right ahead. Well, it's a lot noisy now. Okay, let's try it one more time, Kevin.
Okay. How do we respond to those who either want to be or are in some level of authority who would tend towards legalism? It's not that they don't believe Scripture. It's that they take it and apply it to make it applicable to every detail. Do you need a better example, perhaps? Or
I think we all know what you mean.
Yeah, we listen to too many examples of that, I think, probably.
Where can we draw a line? Is there a guideline that you recommend, perhaps?
Well, I think there's some, you know, great teaching that we can take out of Romans about that and the issue of weaker brother, you know, stronger brother, that sort of thing, and in Corinthians as well. And I think we can go back and study that and find a great deal of help there. I think, you know, when it comes to being a part of a church, and I'm assuming for the moment, we meet that in broader context with believers than just in our particular local church. But if we're in a local church where that is, I go back to that being having submissive attitude and coming under authority isn't always, isn't ever just a blind, being led along, can't say anything, never ask a question, never. And so I think there's all kinds of room for dialogue. And I think the key to that, again, is our attitude. It's the attitude of submissiveness is a powerful, powerful thing. And so I think we have the room to dialogue and do everything in our power to make that a healthy, non-combative thing and to explore the issues and try through those means to come to some resolution, perhaps better understanding of where they're coming from, and hopefully better understanding on their part from where you may be coming from, and perhaps a total resolution. Sometimes it's an agreement to disagree, and then sometimes, there are times when somebody simply holds something that we just simply cannot agree as an absolute, has to be that way from the scriptures. And as a pastor, I am never for folks just saying, you know what, it's uncomfortable here, I don't like what I'm hearing, so I'm going to go to another church. And yet, at the same time, being a member of a church is a voluntary thing. Hmm. Nobody makes you stay in a particular place. And that, I'm a pastor, and I'm absolutely against, church hopping and shopping and all that. I think there's just far too much that God wants to accomplish in our life through the difficult process of working through these things with one another to avoid them. But in the end, so many of these things are we are voluntarily in that place. And if in the end, after a long process, we just simply say, I can't live under that is being still absolutely pressed upon me, then, we have options to seek a place where we believe that the scriptures are more taught in a more balanced way.
The abuse goes both directions, doesn't it, though? I mean, there are those who would, move towards legalism. There are those who would move towards, incite our liberty that we have. And we do have liberty that Christ has won for us, but it's possible to abuse that liberty, too.
It absolutely is. And the clash between the two sides and in the middle is sometimes pretty fiery, particularly in a local church, as you try to work out those things and find that ground and learn to live with one another. And there, I think, ultimately is something that helps me is, we're not always called, I don't think, to make, just stay at it until we've got every I dotted exactly the same, every T crossed the same. We are called to live together as an evidence of the presence of Christ in His church. And we may not always agree on the exact, outworking of a practice, whether we call it legalistic or non-legal, but we are to work through it to the place in a spirit, with a spirit that people look and say, now that doesn't just happen.
Right. We're going to be a whole lot better for the process, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yep. Hey, Kevin, I appreciate your question tonight. We need to take a break, and we have room for more phone calls, 312-329-4460. If you have a question for John Kitchen tonight, his book is called Embracing Authority, and I'll ask you about the subtitle when we come back, John. Stay tuned.